Welcome back to the Roundtable. National Coming Out Day is October 11th. There is a new guide for parents to help them answer questions when their son and or daughter come out to them. We will welcome the authors of the new book, This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. Written in a Q&A format, it is a resource for parents hoping to understand and communicate with their gay child. Through their LGBTQ-oriented website, everyoneisgay.com, Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo are experienced to answer parents' many questions and share insight and guidance on both emotional and practical topics. Daniel Owens Reed and Kristen Russo are the authors of This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids, and it is a great pleasure to welcome them to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Very nice to have you here and to talk about this particular subject. What brought you into this world of wanting to answer these questions and to share answers with people who, I think in most cases, are desperately seeking answers?
Well, this is Danielle. We had kind of a journey. Everything started as a joke for us. I started the website Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber. A while back.
I'm sorry. Lesbians Who Look Like Justin Bieber.
Yeah, that's the one.
How did I not know that this existed prior to this? Wow.
Man, I don't know.
That is great. Okay.
I started that website, and we were getting a bunch of questions from LGBTQ youth. So I talked to Kristen, and we decided to answer them, just be sassy and funny. And that kind of turned into people trusting us and asking us, you know, more serious questions. So we started answering those, and that turned into us going to their schools on tour. And every single step along the way, people have been asking us to answer questions for their parents. So we finally just took a step back and said, you know, we got to do this. And we did it.
I'm now have the site up, of course. Do you feel that you look like Justin Bieber?
You know what? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. It
okay.
depends on how rude he's being, I think.
All right. I understand that. Okay. So you do this, and then Kristen, how do you come into the picture?
Well, when Danielle and I met, she was sort of, as she said, in that influx of comments from people about the Justin Bieber site. And I was, at the time, about halfway through getting my master's in gender studies. And so I felt that we both had very important things to say. I thought it was going to be all in way of joking, but you know, the last 4 years we've been working on Everyone Is Gay for 4 years, and in that time, I think both of us have realized that not only do our experiences, you know, with young LGBTQ people have a place here, but our experiences as once young LGBTQ humans ourselves. You know, Danielle and I both came out to our parents and had experiences, you know, however long ago that was. I'm making us sound like we're, you know, 87 years old. I'm like, we were once young. But, you know, it was about 15 years ago when I came out to my mom, and the process that we went through definitely has seen its way into the book and in our work on a daily basis.
I'm going to ask a somewhat stereotypical question, and I don't mean it to be, but allow me to just ask it, which is, because I just want to use this as a benchmark. Danielle, you live in Los Angeles. Kristen, you live in New York. Do you think for teens and for kids coming out to their parents, that it is a more accepting environment in those areas, and that there are many more resources, that really much of your work comes in the areas where these resources don't exist at all?
I think both of us actually can speak to this question. I know that we're very committed to making sure that the world knows that there is a lot of acceptance in rural areas and areas in, you know, the middle of America, and there's also a lot of discrimination that's very, very present in urban areas. Danielle is from the South, and so I'll let her talk about what she thinks there. But
right.
I just wanted to say, you know, as you were saying that, I think the common thought is that because, you know, LA is a big city, because New York is a big city, because Chicago is a big city, that the experience here is just better blanketed, and certainly there are resources here that are incredible that may not be as readily available, but I think that the community that that exists both in urban and rural areas is very dependent on that community and those people, and I'll turn it over to Danielle.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of add, because I'm from the South, and when I came out, I was living in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which, like, isn't even a place that when you think about the South, you know what it is. So I've had the experience of being surrounded by smaller, more conservative areas. And in each of those areas, like, it's discrimination, I don't think, is based on where you live. It's based on the kind of people you're surrounded with. And I was always surrounded by very, very supportive humans, you know, especially in my college town, and most of my family is super supportive. But there were people in, you know, driving through the South that would look at me funny and that would whisper things the same way that there would be people if I, you know, when I lived in Chicago, if I went into a restaurant, there would be people who would look at me funny and whisper things. So it's, I don't know that it's necessarily specific to living in a small town. I think that there are people who do come out and they live in small towns, and then they have an amazing and supportive crew of people around them, and they have such a wonderful experience. And there are people who come out in big cities and they get kicked out of their homes. So it's about making the resources available regardless of where you are, which is why we have a resources section in the back of our book, and it's why we built the resources page on our website. Like, we just want to make sure that the resources are available regardless of where you are.
One of the things I love in the book is that you have a section in here, several sections, of giving a parent's perspective. And so we'll get to the question and answer part of it in a moment of how those questions were retained. But there is a very clear explaining of the parents' perspective, and so you really wanted to bring parents into this equation and have them understand that how they were feeling is quite normal, and it is something that they should express, right?
Yeah, I was actually just talking to somebody about this. I think that one of the biggest problems that parents face when their kid comes out to them is not even necessarily feeling like they don't accept it, but feeling that their feelings, whether they be confused or feeling sad or feeling whatever the case may be, that those feelings that they have are misplaced, and that the feelings make them a bad parent or make them a person who isn't, you know, someone they want to be. And I think that it's just so critical for parents and family members of kids who come out to know that it's okay. Like, it's okay to have feelings, even if they aren't the feelings that you necessarily want to have right now. You know, your child has gone through a process, like, very likely they've gone through a process before they've spoken the words to you about who they are. And as the parent or the family member, you're hearing it for the first time. And so, you know, allowing for that experience and allowing for some of the feelings, even the ones that you don't want, is so important. And then getting the knowledge and the information that you need so that you can begin to change those feelings to very positive and very loving ones.
The positive and loving, I think, is something that really I want to underscore, because in many situations, of course, we hear of situations where that is not the case and parents are not accepting, but you just as the again as we evolve and we understand these issues, it seems that especially somebody who's going to pick up this book is a parent who genuinely, any questions they have or any concerns that they have are founded in the love they have for their kid and just want to make sure that they're okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that safe to say that's the majority?
I think so. I mean, I think that a lot of the confusions and the questions come from just not knowing and not necessarily thinking of your child differently or not loving your child anymore. But a lot of the questions come from, I love my kid so much, but now I have no idea what to do. So it definitely comes from that loving and wanting to understand place, for sure.
I had a friend say this to me the other day, that they said they believe that their son is gay. But they don't, and I thought this was interesting, but I don't know because he hasn't had sex yet. And I thought that was, well, that's a really interesting thing of that identification, but it doesn't have to involve sex. It's knowing, that the, the son has come out to the parent and said, okay, I'm gay, but does not mean that they're sexually active or promiscuous or it's and then you get into just sort of the normal parent concerns and fears, right?
Right, right. And I think that's an incredible question, really, is for that parent. I think that they're attaching sexual behavior to sexuality or identity, which is
right.
Not those are not inextricable things at all. I think that, you know, just as people walking on this planet, we know that our interests and our desires certainly aren't always lining up with the actual actions that we've taken, and it's absolutely possible for your child to know that they are gay or bisexual before they've had a sexual experience with another person. So that's kind of the first part of that. And then something that you touched on too is the word promiscuous, and Danielle and I were actually very surprised when we were in the initial stages of writing the book. We sent the table of contents to a lot of parents just to make sure, you know, are we touching on everything we need to be touching on? And unanimously, the parents came back to us and they said, well, you didn't answer the question, will my child be more promiscuous now? And we were floored. We didn't know that was even still a large trope out there, that it was thought that being LGBTQ would make you more sexually active. And so we addressed that question in the book. And, you know, I won't give you the entire answer to it here, but the short answer is absolutely not. You know, our level of interest in sexual activity or any activity for that matter is not dependent on our sexual identities or our gender identities in the least.
When it comes to that table of contents, I assume that's something you really pored over and wanted to get right. And it's very complete, everything from being supportive to answering questions about religious beliefs. To once your kid, if they do come out to you, then how do you tell other people? And so in coming up with those chapters and the table of contents, what was that like of making sure that you handled all these different issues?
It was fun. we sort of started with here are the 10 questions that people have. This is probably all there is. And then we started asking around, and we talked to so many parents, parents of 2-year-olds, parents of 30-year-olds, parents of teens. We sent the table of contents to so many people over and over. And, you know, we talked to folks at PFLAG, and we talked to our publisher, and we asked as many people as possible because, the fact of the matter is, Kristen and myself are not parents of gay kids, and we were gay kids, and we have the experience, and we got a lot of outsider input, but we wanted to know what people would really, really want to know, so we asked as many people as possible, and we figured out somehow how to make a very extensive table of contents.
Were there any questions that you were stymied by? Of, oh, you know what? I really don't know the answer to that, and we have to dig really deep into this one.
You know, that's an amazing question, because there were two specific parts of the book that Danielle and I knew that we could not speak to directly. One of those was the chapter on gender. The longest chapter in the book, actually, is a chapter on gender, gender identity, gender expression, and neither Danielle or I identify as transgender, and so we brought in a mother-son team who answered all of those questions for us, basically, and then we sort of made it become unified with the voice of the book.
Right.
But that mother and her trans son looked at those questions, and then along with a larger group of trans individuals and their parents, helped us to tackle those questions. And then the second part was the in the Birds and the Bees chapter, where we address safe sex. We decided, I think a lot of places say it's really good to talk to your kids about safe sex. These are the ways that you talk about it, but they don't give you the specifics. And so we decided that we wanted our book to include the specifics. And we talked to a woman named Dr. Justine Shuey, who is a sex expert, and she wrote Safe Sex 101, and there's a whole section in the book that gives you the basics of what you can tell your child and how you can make sure that they're safe. So those were two places that we had to seek outside help on.
How about for kids themselves? I mean, questions, were they part of the input as to these are the these are the answers I wish my parents had?
Well, the whole thing kind of started from them asking us and telling us those very things. Them saying, you know, I came out to my parents and now they said, oh, it's cool, I don't care, and we literally haven't talked about it. What do I do? You know, they
right.
they came from people asking us to please explain what pansexual means. And it's just like it all started from there. So we have answered a lot of these questions. We've answered versions of them on our site for LGBTQ youth, and we would either reword them or revisit them or, you know, just like redo the whole thing. But like we've answered them in a way that's like, tell your parents this. And instead of doing that, we were like, we'll write you a book and you just hand it to them.
That book is, this is a book for parents of gay kids, a question and answer guide to everyday life. And I think that's really key. It's everyday life. As you say, sometimes the kids will come out, the parents say, okay, we're accepting of it, we love you no matter what, and then it's just the elephant in the room that you never talk about.
Yeah, it is.
Exactly.
So
there always should be more conversation than just that.
So this idea of everyday life is that every day there are different things, just as with any teenager, questions that are going to come up that you want to address with them.
Exactly. And for the parent, too. You know, I mean, I think once a child is out to their parent, the parent then is coming out as well, right? When that parent has somebody ask them, oh, is your daughter dating anybody? Well, there's a coming out moment, you know. In that moment, you have to make a decision. Am I gonna come out to this person as a parent of an LGBTQ child or not? So it really is a day-to-day experience for both the kid and their family members.
Do you think, and we have to wrap up, but do you think the kids, that the parents will ever truly understand kind of what the kids are going through if they're being bullied or being, I don't know, ostracized in any way, that having not being a gay themselves will truly understand what is going on?
You know, that's a very difficult question to answer. I think that we all or most of us have experienced some form of discrimination or adversity.
Absolutely.
In our lives. Whether it be because of weight, race, religion, you know, you remember like not getting great grades or getting good grades, and either way being, you know, discriminated against because of it. And I think it's hard to understand anyone's experience exactly, but I think that if you can check in with yourself and know that your kid isn't just acting out, they're going through something very real, then you can at least get to a place where you understand one another and you can be supportive.
Danielle Owens-Reed and Kristen Russo are the authors of This is a Book for Parents of Gay Kids. It is published by Chronicle. Their website is everyoneisgay.com. Danielle and Kristen, thank you so much for being with us and the great work you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Appreciate it. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.